Turning your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to finish this morning this two-part study of what we're just calling biblical stewardship. It's basically the fact that God has given us everything, and what we want to do is to use wisely what God has given to us for His glory. We want to be faithful. We want to be faithful to use all that He has. It's important, really, to understand these truths and principles found in the Word of God. We need to know it and apply it. Here's what Paul said. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, it is required of stewards, that's us, to be found faithful. We've been entrusted with all these things from God, and the goal is to be found faithful. We also saw, and this we saw last week, Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than receive. And sometimes people don't understand that, and they don't grasp it. They don't understand the blessing that is connected with this way. We want you to know the Word of God. We want you to understand it all. As you know, at Stillwater Bible, we teach the Bible, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. We teach through the books. We have Bible Institute. Our goal is to teach the truths of the Bible. So one of the main truths of the Bible is the whole idea of stewardship and giving. And there is a blessing connected with giving. That's what Jesus said. And the reason I really wanted to do this for these last 2 weeks is that I want you to understand the blessing, because I don't want you to get to heaven, as I said this last week, and you say to me, JB, why didn't you teach this? Why didn't you tell us about this? Because I want you to understand it. This morning, as we finish our study, we're going to look more, we're going to look on attitude, and we're going to look on contentment, and we'll see how that fits together. Well, I've been getting some letters in the mail lately, and it's from Publishers Clearing House. I don't know if you've got any of these, but I've got some. And, you know, they give away a lot of money. This thing says $15 million, and I'm pretty encouraged by it because it says I may have already won. I don't know if y'all know that, but I may have already won this thing. It said winning number is found, so I'm pretty excited about it. What would you do if you won the sweepstakes and won $15 million? What would you do with that money? How would it change you? What would you do? I read a story 8 years ago, a man who won $7 million, and within 5 years, he was completely bankrupt. What would that happen to you? Would that happen to me? I have a friend, this is way back, 30 years ago, longer than that, and this friend had a sister. She was 3 years older than her sister, and her dad had died when she was like 10, and he left a trust fund for her and her sister, and that when they turned 18 years old, they got $100,000. Now, this is back in like 74, 75. That was a lot of money. So my friend, she turned 18 first, and when she turned 18, she got $100,000. And by the time she was 26, 27, she had bought a home and had a large savings. Her younger sister turned 18 three years later when she turned 18. She went and bought, at that time, it was an $18,000 Corvette. But today it would be probably a $60,000 or $70,000 or $80,000 Corvette, but it was $18,000 then. By age 23, she had not a penny left. What would you do? What would you do if you suddenly got a lot of money? Sometimes we say things like, well, if I had a lot of money, I would do this. Dan Beeson says this. He says, money's not the answer to my financial problems. It's what I do with my money that makes the difference. We understand that in Luke 16, 10 through 11, it says, if you've not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, in other words, just using regular money, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you've not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? God has given us everything, and we're to use it for His glory. And so the key is this. If we're not faithful with the little that we have now, how can we be faithful even more? Because we say things like, well, if I had more money, are we faithful with what we have now? As we continue our study of biblical stewardship, we want to look at truths dealing with money and possessions and giving and attitude and contentment and all of those things. Let me remind you, this was the outline. We started with three questions, and then we looked at biblical giving. That was last week. We hit the first two last week. This week, we're going to look at attitude toward giving, just that idea, and the whole idea of contentment. I think it's very important that we understand how all this fits together. So let me give you some reminders. Last week, we started with three key questions. Who are we? What do we have? And what are we to do? We realized that who are we? We're children of God. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you belong to Him. You are dead in trespasses and sins. He's made you alive. You're a child of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You're a new creation. And so that's who you are, a child of God. What do we have? Well, everything we have comes from God. Everything that we have, He has given to us. In fact, 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, what do you have that you didn't get from God? The answer is nothing. Everything comes from God. And so the third thing is, what are we to do? And we saw last week, we're to take everything that God has given to us. That's everything. And use it for His glory. That's the plan. We belong to Christ. Everything we have comes from Him. And we're to be wise stewards of what He's given to us. Well, that's what we saw. Then we saw biblical giving, and that was really a lot of fun, because when you look at biblical giving, you find out that we give free will offerings. We're not under a law. We're not under a system. We give as we purpose in our heart, 2 Corinthians 9:7. We give as we purpose in our heart, not grudging necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. We give from first fruits, which surprises people, because what that says is, as you get something, as you get money, as you give away on the front end, not the back end. That's first fruits. And you give planned, and we talk about that you plan your giving. We also saw, and Eric said it even in his prayer at the offering today, that we give as an act of love, worship, and trust. An act of love, loving God and loving others. When you give, it's an act of love. It's an act of worship, because it actually is an act of worship, because it's an offering to God. And then it's an act of trust. You got to trust Him. And this is where we grow, and this is where we trust God, in the sense that if He gives you something and you give a portion away, you're going to have to trust Him that you're going to make it on what you got left. And the truth is, you will make it better than if you'd kept it. So you just got to understand that. Well, this morning, as we continue, we're going to talk more about attitude towards stewardship, money, possessions, and things. And then we're going to look at contentment. And I'm going to go fairly quickly through this. So the goal is just to give you the big idea and to see how things fit together. You remember our goal? Our goal is to use wisely what God has given to us, to be wise stewards of all that we have. We realize that all we have comes to us from God, and we're to use it for His honor and His glory. That's the plan. That's what we want to do. So we saw the first two last week. Let's get the number three. And that's the whole idea of the attitude toward giving, the attitude toward stewardship and all that. And that's a key thing. And we need to think about riches. And sometimes we say riches. Well, I'm not rich, but we talked about it last week. Yes, we are. If you look at the world, our poorest people would be rich in almost every other country in the world. In almost any place, we are the richest people in the world. Our poverty would be others' wealth. So we need to think about the attitude. People say, if I had more money, I would do the following. The question is, what are you doing with what you have now? Let's think about our attitude toward money and riches and material things. We live in a society that pushes us all the time. In fact, if you just watch TV or read, I mean, things are telling you you've got to have this toothpaste and this car and these clothes and this, and this can't satisfy you, and this is not good enough, and you know that you need something better than this, and you deserve a break today, and everything, you know, you're worth it. I mean, it's just what you get all the time. So how do we deal with all of this stuff? And when we think about riches and things, it deals with an attitude. And what I want you to see is that the key in all of this is faithfulness. That's what it is, just to be faithful. And I want you to think about several things about faithful. Think about this. First of all, that God's going to supply. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God will meet our needs, especially in our country. My gracious, our wants and needs. I mean, just think of the rest of the world. God is going to take care of us. We're going to never lack. The second thing is, use what we have now. Sometimes we say things, well, when I get a little older, when I get to do this, when I did this, when I make more money, when I get a better job, when I do it. Listen, take what God gives you now. Be faithful in that which is little so that you can be faithful in that which is much. The third one is just realize you can't serve both God and money. That's what he says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, what do you not know? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We're to glorify God. You can't serve them both. It's just amazing that when the Bible says, what you treasure, you love. I'd always read that backwards. I thought, what you love, you'll treasure. It's just the opposite. What you treasure is what you end up loving. What you think is valuable, that's what you love. And so many people, we think, well, you know, I got to have this, and I got to have this, and I got to have this. We end up loving it. You can't serve both. Jesus said that. You can't serve both. And then the last thing I want you to think about is be wise stewards of what God has given to us. Matthew 25:21. This is at the end of this little parable, and the master says, well done, good and faithful slave. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. We talked last week. The bottom line is one day you'll stand before your Savior. Has nothing to do with your salvation. Your salvation is a gift by faith in Christ. But how we lived on this earth, how we used our possessions, our time, how we were wise stewards or unwise stewards of what God has given us, we will give an account to Him. And we want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want you to think about wealth and riches and money just for a little bit. And I want you to, I think I told you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to start with verse 7, 8, 9, and 10, and we want to talk about it. And I want to raise these issues right here. First of all, how should we see? How do we look at riches and wealth? And then how do we use it? Because let's say it this way. Compared to all the world, we are rich. Compared to everyone else in the world, those of us sitting in this room are wealthy people. See, God doesn't just look at the United States and say, well, there's some wealthy people here and some not so wealthy people here. When you look at the whole world, we're all wealthy. So how should we see riches and wealth? And how do we use riches? I mean, how does it work? So let's talk about it. How should we see riches and wealth? Well, the first thing I want you to realize is riches and material things, they're just temporary. They're just temporary. Look at that. I mean, they don't last. I mean, you know you get something and it breaks. You get something, you say, I love this, I'm going to love it, but something else comes out. And you go, oh, I didn't know they had another one of those. I didn't know they had an updated version. I mean, this is an iPhone 27, you know, instead of iPhone 8 or 6. They're going to all keep coming out, okay? Listen to this. We brought nothing in. We can take nothing out. Listen, every material thing that you have is just what we're going through this life. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. For we brought nothing into the world, so we can take... We cannot take anything out of it either. Listen, all the possessions and everything that you have, they're just temporary. They're just while you're passing through this time. That what God has given us, He says, listen, this is temporary. This is for you. This is for you to use while you're here. And we're to use it for His glory. Jesus said, what if you gain the entire world and lose your soul? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, lay up what? Treasure in heaven, not on earth. Because see, it doesn't last. Let me ask you something. What are the things? What are the things that last forever? Because this building won't last forever, and those chairs won't last forever, and this carpet won't last forever, and then your clothes are going to last forever, your cars aren't going to last forever, your houses aren't going to last forever. None of that's going to last. You know what lasts forever? Three things. God is eternal from everlasting to everlasting. You are God, Psalm 90, verse 2. He's always been there, always will be. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Isaiah 60, verse 2 says that the flower fades and the grass dies, but the Word of God abides forever. And the other thing that lasts forever is people. Every human being is going to last forever. Some are going to live forever with Jesus Christ, called eternal life. Some are going to die forever, separated from Jesus Christ. But the only three things that are eternal is God, His Word, and people. What should you invest in if you're going to invest in the eternal things? Know God, know the Word, and love people. That's what you got to do. That's the only things that last. Everything else will be gone. So He said, listen, you brought nothing in, you can take nothing out. So the first thing is things are temporary. The second thing is contentment is not in riches and things. It never is. It can't satisfy. I mean, they can't satisfy. Look at verse 8. He says, if we have food and covering with these, we shall be content. It's not all the stuff. They never bring contentment. They can't. You know in your life that you've said, oh, I want that. Oh, if I could just get that one thing. And then you get it. And for like 3, 4, or 5 days, it's great. And then you get used to it. And then there's something else that's even better than that. And you go, well, and so you're never content. You can't have contentment with things. You can have contentment in relationships, but not things. Things break. Things tear up. Things don't last. Things don't satisfy. I know that O.J. Simpson just got out of prison. I can remember before he got into trouble. I remember when he was a movie star. I remember he was a great football player. I remember when he was on top of the world before all those things happened to him. And I saw an interview with him. And they asked him, okay, O.J., you're in the Hall of Fame, the College Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You're wealthy. You're a movie star. You've done everything. And he said, for some reason, I'm empty. These things just, he said, I thought like if you become famous, that'll be great, but it's not. And I thought if you had riches, it is not. And I thought if, you know, and he just kept going. And the truth is, none of these things will ever satisfy. things can't satisfy. Contentment is not in riches or things. But there's a third thing which may surprise you. Riches can bring ruin. Look at verse 9. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. Now listen, if God allows you to be wealthy, doesn't that, and we are wealthy. We're the wealthiest people in the world. But even if you're wealthy in the United States, listen, the goal is not to be wealthy. The goal is to live for Jesus Christ and to use whatever he gives you for his glory. And he may give you more and more and more and more. We look through the Bible and Abraham, at the time of Abraham, Abraham was probably one of the richest people on earth. King Solomon was the richest person on earth. King David, he didn't lack for anything. Listen, sometimes God blesses people, Christians, believers, and gives them so much. But the goal here, he says, listen, but the people who want to get rich, if your dream is, man, I want to get rich, be careful because you fall into temptation and a snare, foolish, harmful desires, which plunge people into destruction. And that's when he goes on to say, because the love of money, there's nothing wrong with money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of money. I read this. USA Today, 38% of people between the age of 18 and 39 said they would sacrifice happiness for more money. You ready for this one? They did a survey. They asked people, for $1 million, would you kill someone if they could never be found out? If there'd be no way it could be found out, would you kill someone for $1 million? 12% said yes. Foolish snares, harmful desires. Money fools us. Matthew 13:22, Jesus said, the deceitfulness of riches. So why not go after riches? Well, first of all, if they're temporary, they won't bring contentment, and they can cause ruin. So with that in mind, how in the world do we use riches? Well, I want to show you something. We're going to give you some instructions. If you're in 1 Timothy 6, turn a little further, maybe my Bible, you have to flip the page over, and we're going to look at verses 17, 18, and 19, because we get some instruction and results about riches and how to use it all. We mentioned this last week, but look at verse 17 when he gives some instructions on riches. Look what he says, verse 17. Instruct those who are rich in this present world. Who is that? Who is that? That's us. We can say it loud. That's us. We are rich in this present world. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies with all things to enjoy. So his instructions are threefold. Don't be conceited. Don't hope in riches, but hope in God. Listen, we can't be conceited because sometimes people in America, we look at these other places and say, we are so much better than they are. Look at them. They don't know this. They don't have this. They don't have this. We have everything. Listen, we can't be conceited. Who gave you what you have? Who gave you what you have? God gave you what you have. It's the grace of God. You should say, thank you, Lord. He says, listen, don't be conceited. Don't hope in riches. He says, don't fix your hope on the uncertainty of riches. It can be here one day and it can be gone the next day. One of the Psalms says, or one of the Proverbs says, that riches sometimes sprouts wings and flies away. You can't trust in riches. You never know if you're going to have it or not. And then the third thing is hope in God. Our hope is in God. He richly supplies us with everything. That's who we trust. We trust God, not the riches. So he says, really, don't be conceited. Don't trust in riches, but trust God. That's why he says in Matthew, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. He says in Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind. So he says, listen, those of us who are rich in this world, don't be conceited. Don't put our hope in riches, but hope in God. And then he tells us what to do. He says this, do good and share. Take what God's given us and do good with it. Look at verse 18. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to share. We're supposed to give. Why does God give us? You know, I teach a biblical finance course, and whenever I do premarital counseling, I give everybody Dave Ramsey's book because I like Dave Ramsey. I like what he does. I like his baby steps. And I tell people, listen, if you'll actually follow the baby steps, you'll be wealthy. And they go, really? I say, yeah, but why do you want to be wealthy? Wait, why is the goal to be wealthy? And that is to live and give like no one else. That is to take what God's given us and be able to use it to do things beyond what we ever thought we could do. Beyond what we could do. It's just, that's what it's all about. So he says, listen, do good. Be rich in good works. Be generous. Be ready to share. But there's results. And the results are storing up treasure for self, verse 19, storing up for selves the treasure of a good foundation for the future so they may take hold of that which is life indeed. See, one day when you stand before Jesus Christ, we want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to give, be rewarded. Remember, Jesus said, lay up what? Treasure in heaven. When you take what God's given you, whether it's a lot or not a lot, and you use it for his glory, and when you stand before him, he will say, well done, good and faithful servants. So when you think about riches, don't be conceited. Don't hope in them. Put your hope in God. Do good. Share with others so that you can lay up treasure in heaven. Now, I've got one final area, and that is contentment. And we want to think about contentment, and we want to look at two things. We want to look at contentment. What is it? And then we want to think, what are the two things to focus on in our life? So let's think about, what is contentment? We want to be content. What is it? Well, it's not found in having everything, okay? You say, well, I want to get this and this and this. If I got this, this, and this, I'll be content. No, you won't, because you can't be content in things. If we're not satisfied with what we have now, we'll never be satisfied with what we think we want. A.W. Pink was a Bible scholar. He said, contentment is the product of a heart resting in God. When you just trust God and you say, God, whatever you give me, I'll use it for your glory. My life is in your hands. I want to live for you. That's where contentment comes from. Contentment goes not back to things, but your relationship and your fellowship with God. That's why Hebrews said, run the race with endurance, keeping your focus on Jesus Christ. So I want you to think about contentment, and I want you to think about several things. First of all, just realize this. God is sovereign and in control. In your life, whether there's a lot or not a lot, whether you look at yourself and say, well, in the United States, I don't have very much. I may be rich out the rest of the world, but I don't have that much here. Well, just remember that God is sovereign, that he's in control. He's working all things. God is good. He loves us beyond what we could imagine. And when we're content and we trust in him to do exactly what he wants to do, God will supply our needs, Philippians 4:19. And let me tell you something that you don't always think about. We are, each one of us are special and unique in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, we don't need things to make us important. You're already important. You're already created in the image of Jesus Christ. He loves you. You're a child of God. You don't need things to make you feel important. And so simply put, trust God to supply what we need and use it all for his glory to be found faithful. So I want to finish with a couple of things. I wanted to say, what do we look for? What do we focus on? What? Seek the eternal. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Look to the things that last forever. Seek the eternal. Invest in God and in his word and people and do all of those things, because the rest of stuff doesn't last. So seek the eternal. But the second one is this, and that's learn to be content. And I want you to understand something. Content is not natural. Content is not natural, because that's not how we're made. And then when you put us in a world that says you need this, 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 it's just hard. And that's why Paul said, I have learned to be content. I have learned to be content. And so it's not a natural thing, but we have to learn to trust him. Well, you know, here's what we do. I think the three things to help. Realize that everything we have comes from God. You're going to be content? Just say, everything I have comes from God. He's the one that gave it to me. Ron Blue said this, when we recognize that God owns it all, we'll not fear losing it because we don't own it anyway. It's his. Realize that things cannot satisfy. You've just got to get to the point where you realize that all this stuff makes no difference. I know a lot of people, we're getting to the age. Listen, I'm downsizing as much as I can. I'm trying to get rid of everything I got. Listen, it's just too much mess, right? Listen, you get to a point in your life, you realize I don't need all these things, because all these things break and tear up and you have to take care of them and everything else, and that's not worth it because they don't satisfy. And just realize that they can never satisfy. So trust God He'll take care of us. He'll supply all our needs. We can pray, give all our prayer requests to him. So I want you to see that this morning. I've got some applications I want you to think about. First of all, this, as we finish this part, let's be wise stewards in all that God has given to us. Listen, everything we have comes from his glory. Comes from him. Everything we have is his. Listen, you are a steward. These are not your clothes and your car and your house. You are a steward that God has entrusted these things to you to use them for his glory. So therefore, we're to use it for his glory. The second thing, and this is a harder one, be a faithful giver. You know, I told you the statistics. Let me just give you something. Do you understand in the United States, this is the United States, I'm not even talking about our church. I don't know all the statistics in our church, but I know this, that in the United States, in a normal church, and we're not talking about visitors, we're talking about people who belong to their local church. In a normal church, half of the believers have never given to their church and will never give to their church. That means people who are members of churches go Sunday after Sunday and have never given a penny to their church. That's in the United States. The other half, the average giving of the other half is 1.7%. We talked about it last week. So I want you to understand, you need to realize that everything you have comes from God and that he's entrusted it to you. And you have the privilege and responsibility to support this ministry and all kind of other ministries and to touch lives for Jesus Christ. And so let's be faithful givers. And as we give as an act of, it's an offering to God. It's an act of worship. It's an act of love. And it's an act of trust. And let me tell you something that changed my life. And I'm going to show you this. We got to give from the first fruits. I mentioned this last week. I have to tell you a story. I was coaching at Mississippi State. I resigned and I was getting ready to go to Dallas Seminary. I had money, but not very much money. And I had been a Christian, but I rarely gave. I mean, I gave some every now and then, but hardly anything. And when I got ready to get to a point where I thought, you know, I'm going to go to seminary, I made a decision. I realized, listen, my life is in his hands. I want to live for him. I want to go where he wants me to go. I want to do whatever he wants me to do. Everything that I have comes from him. I'm going to have to trust him. And I did. And I went to seminary. I had almost no income at all. And he took me all the way through seminary. I made a decision that no matter what money I got, whether it was $400, there was sometimes I made $600 a month total. Lived in Dallas. My rent was $425. I had to live on it. You know, I had to live on everything else the rest of the way. God took care of me all the way through. But I want you to understand, I made a decision on the front end that every time I got anything, I would give a portion away on the first fruits. I still do that. My percentage has gone way up. I just want you to know that. But I want to tell you a story just to show you what God does. I went to Dallas Seminary. I used every bit of money I had to put the thing for the rent and to get in there and to pay for school. I had no money. I mean, literally, maybe $20. And I went to my mailbox, and it was the first letter I ever got. I went, I got a letter. I opened it up, and it was a bill from State Farm. And it said, because you moved from Mississippi to Texas, you owe an additional $92 to insure your car. And I went, $92? Where am I going to get $92? I thought, I don't know, but I got to trust him. I've already given away and, you know, I don't have it. So about 3 days passed, 4 days passed, I went back on campus and I had another letter. I went, oh, I got a letter. Opened it up. And it was a letter from my home church, Emmanuel Baptist Church, Starkville, Mississippi. And Knapp wrote the letter and he said, Dear JB, somebody thought you might need this. It was a check. What do you think it was for? $92. I watched God do that over and over again. And since the day I made a decision that everything God ever gives me, I'm going to give away a portion on the front end. I decided that when I was 31 years old. I have never regretted it. I have more money than I know what to do with. Not really. But anyway, the truth is, he has taken care of me. I could tell you 100 stories, all are just like that. So give from the first fruits. Make a decision that you're going to trust him. An act of worship and love and trust that you're going to take what God gives you and you're going to give away. And he's going to bless you. Now, that's not your motive. That's just the principle. Last but not least, learn to be content. You got to learn to be content. You realize that all this stuff doesn't matter. Here's what you need to do. Serve God and invest in others. That's what we're to do. May we be faithful stewards of all that God's given us, using our money, possessions, all of that wisely for the glory of God.